During this season of Advent, we are exploring some of the names of Jesus that we find in Scripture. We started last Sunday with Reverend Brian's sermon on the name Son of Man. He reminded us that this name comes from predictions about the Messiah we find in the book of Daniel. Daniel has a vision in which the Son of Man is coming with the clouds of heaven. And this foreshadows the fact that the Son of Man, who is the Messiah, is connected to bringing heaven to earth. And this imagery fits for Jesus. In him, God is made flesh. The holy takes on human form. Heaven is brought to earth. On this second Sunday of Advent, when we light the candle of peace, it's fitting that the name of Jesus we're going to explore a bit is Prince of Peace. Once again, this name comes from predictions about the Messiah we find in the Old Testament, this time in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, the prophet offers words of hope to people who are struggling with political division, people who are afraid because of the threat of military invasion, people who are wondering if God is ever going to come down from heaven and save them. Isaiah says this: "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now we hear echoes of this good news in words spoken by another prophet hundreds of years later. Zechariah is a priest of the Lord. He's the husband of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. He's also the father of Jesus's cousin John. After John is born, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to prophesy. He praises God for the promise of the Messiah, a promise that has sustained the people of Israel for generations, a promise that will soon be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Zechariah also foretells the future of his son John, the one who will prepare the way for the Lord. And he proclaims that the one who is coming is indeed that Prince of Peace that we have been hoping for. So let's listen now for the word of God in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Zechariah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but the events of the past few weeks, if not the past couple of years, have left me longing for good news. Another deadly school shooting in Oxford, Michigan, left 4 teenagers dead and 7 other people wounded. Another COVID variant is raising concerns as we make our way into the holiday season, this season when we so yearn to be with our loved ones without worrying about things like masking and social distancing and COVID testing. There's the growing threat of military conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and of course, there's the ongoing political conflict in our own country. And so it can feel like good news is really hard to find these days. But today is the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday when we proclaim that the light of peace shines even amid the darkness and the shadows of our world. With all that is happening in the world these days, those shadows can feel overwhelming. Despair and fear can feel overwhelming, but friends, we are people of faith. So we remember the promises of our God. God has promised, remember, that one day swords will be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. God has promised, remember, that one day death will be no more and mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And we remember the words of Zechariah, who proclaimed, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So even when darkness and despair and fear seem overwhelming, as people of faith, we proclaim that the Prince of Peace is coming, and our feet are the ones who will walk the way of peace. Friends, more and more, I am beginning to see that we are called not just to proclaim peace or pray for peace. We are also called to create peace. In the face of all that is happening in the world these days, in the wake of all that has happened in the world over the past couple of years, we so often turn to prayer because it feels like we can't do anything else. Sometimes we feel hopeless and helpless, and so we pray, and we should pray. But we also need to act. We need to offer God our hands and our hearts, our feet, our very lives, so that peace can come into this world in and through us. We need to hear once again the words of Zechariah, who reminds us that the Messiah is coming to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus will come to show us the way, but we have to walk along that way with our own 2 feet, creating peace with each small step we take. And sometimes we get to see glimpses of peace in the most surprising of places. A woman named Naomi Shihab Nye discovered that she got to see a glimpse of peace in an airport. This story happened to her over a decade ago now. Naomi was born in St. Louis, Missouri, to a Palestinian father and an American mother. During her high school years, she lived in Ramallah in Jordan, the old city in Jerusalem, and in San Antonio, Texas. At a poetry festival in 2008, she received a standing ovation for the poem Gate A4, a poem that begins with a chance encounter in an airport and that ends with a feast. The setting for the poem is the Albuquerque airport, and Naomi has just received word that her flight to El Paso has been delayed for 4 hours. She gets up from her seat at the gate and begins to wander around the terminal. She's got some time to kill. But then she hears an announcement over the loudspeaker asking for anyone who understands Arabic to come immediately to gate A4. That's her gate, and she knows how to speak Arabic, so she goes. And there she discovers an older woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, wearing just what her grandma would wear. The woman has collapsed on the floor, wailing. An airline attendant is desperately trying to communicate with her, but the woman doesn't seem to understand anything he is saying, and he doesn't understand anything she is saying. He has no idea why she is so upset, and he can't console her. So Naomi went up to the woman, gently put her arm around her, and asked her in Arabic what had happened. And it turned out that the woman misunderstood. She thought the flight had been not just delayed, but canceled entirely, and she had to get to El Paso for a really important medical procedure she was scheduled for the next day. So Naomi reassured her she would get there. She would just be arriving a little bit later than expected. And Naomi got out her phone and helped her call her son so that she could let him know about the delay. And then, because they had some time to kill, she suggested that she call some of her other sons. So they chatted for a little bit, and then Naomi called her own father because he spoke Arabic, so he and the woman could chat for a little bit. And then she decided to call some of the Palestinian poets that she knew so that they also could chat to this woman in Arabic for a little while. And all of this made the woman so happy. Her wailing and worry had turned to joy and delight and laughter. And this is how Naomi tells the rest of the story. The woman, she had pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, little powdered, sugary, crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the traveler from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling because there are no better cookies. And then the airline broke out free apple juice from huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving us, and they were covered with powdered sugar too. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. This can still happen anywhere. Friends, not everything is lost. As we come to the table today, we will proclaim to each other and to this weary world that not everything is lost. We will proclaim that healing can come through bread that is broken, and hope can come through a cup that is shared. We will proclaim that hope and peace and joy and love are still possible, even in the face of all that is happening in the world these days, even in the wake of all that has happened over the past couple of years. Not everything is lost. So friends, let us feast together so that we can return to the world nourished and strengthened, encouraged and inspired to follow the one we call the Prince of Peace. He is the one who has come to show us the way. And he is the one who reminds us that it's our turn now. It's our turn to walk the way of peace with our own two feet. With each small step we take, in every place we go, in every chance encounter we have, with every little bit of powdered sugar we get on our faces this holiday season. Friends, let us create the world we want to live in. Let peace begin with us. Amen.